This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, since I have moved to this community, alhamdulillah, 3.5 years ago, inshallah, you have seen from me that I try my best to increase tolerance amongst our mainstream understandings of Islam. And it has always been my philosophy that I want us to appreciate the diversity of the ummah. But of course, this raises the very awkward question, to what extent do we tolerate? And today's khatira and also our next khatira are going to be about very sensitive topics. Topics that are very difficult to talk about, but unfortunately there's a lot of misunderstanding in the broader public, and there's a lot of propaganda, perhaps even agenda-driven items going on, that it is essential we discuss in a very blunt manner. So today, and also our next khatira on Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about one specific red line that we cannot accept going beyond. Because there must be red lines. Tolerance is within mainstream. Tolerance is when we have similar understandings. We appreciate, for example, the hadith of Jibreel, we respect the Sahaba, and even beyond those, if they don't respect the Sahaba, then khair, yani, we will agree to disagree, leave their affair to Allah. We don't like what they're doing, but khair, they're within the ummah, they're following the kalima. But where do we draw the red line that this is an understanding or belief that we can no longer tolerate? Today, and my next khatira, will be about one very significant red line, and that is the importance of the status and the maqam of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are a number of ideas, theologies, understandings that are challenging the status and the finality of the prophethood of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today I will discuss one of them, and inshallah next Tuesday we will discuss the other of them. Because what I find, especially last few weeks that I'm traveling also America, it is clear to me that there seems to be a concerted effort to bring about a new understanding or to mainstream a very marginal interpretation. People on Twitter, on Facebook, there are online people associating with politicians, with media, and they are raising a type of awareness amongst our youth, and it is our job as the elders and the people of knowledge, inshallah, to educate our youth. And I understand this is a very difficult topic, a sensitive topic. I ask Allah for protection, I ask Allah for iman and ikhlas. We're going in directions that do have repercussions, I understand this. But khair, one thing needs to be said. A clear and fundamental principle of iman, without which we do not have iman, is that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet for all of mankind. And anybody who understands who he is, listens to his message, clearly is conveyed his risala, and rejects him, has essentially rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no iman without iman in our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a corollary of this, which I'll discuss next Tuesday, he is the final seal of all prophets. And prophecy comes to an end with him. So the maqam of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be challenged from within the faith. If you challenge that status, if you challenge believing in him, if you challenge his finality, then it's not a matter of we agree to disagree. It's not a matter of, okay, khalas, I don't agree, but khair. It's a matter of lakum dinukum waliyadin. It's a matter of we have to part ways as being of different faith traditions. Now, before I move on, I must make a very important disclaimer. Because one of the reasons why this topic is so sensitive is that other people, non-Muslims and sometimes people of this understandings, they say, oh, look what's happening over there, persecution. Look what's happening over there, people are being killed. Look what's happening over there, mobs gathering and killing people. Your talk here in Dallas, your mainstream fatwa within our tradition is gonna incite violence. So I say, unequivocally, unconditionally, we are not advocating violence. We are not advocating mob injustice. We are not asking anyone to do anything physically, but we are demarcating what it means to be a Muslim. We are setting the boundaries theoretically, and we are saying, if you are outside of this boundary, then we will not consider you within the boundaries of Islam. Now I understand some radical people go crazy and they do violent things, so I say they are wrong. We are not advocating violence. We're not advocating any type of mob injustice. And I clearly and unconditionally say, I have nothing to do with anything that is violence. But that doesn't mean that we are silent about kufr. That doesn't mean we stay quiet when clear red lines are crossed. Because we must define what it means to be a Muslim. And by the way, every noun has a definition. Every concept has a definition. That's the reality of definitions. If there was no definition, then the noun becomes meaningless, right? Think about it. If there is no definition, then the word becomes meaningless. So, by definition, every definition has to have a definition. When you have a definition, you have boundaries. So, what is the definition of Islam? Again, much can be said for today's khatira. We are talking specifically about the notion of the status of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And today I will talk about one idea that unfortunately last few weeks and even a year or two, it is now becoming mainstream and global. And I have seen many of our youth themselves getting involved, not understanding what is happening. And that is the claim, today's khatira, is the claim that belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is optional. To be a good person and to enter Jannah and to have Allah's salvation. You don't have to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter Jannah. If you do, it's good. If you don't, well, it's fine as well. To make such a claim, to claim that the risala of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is nafila, right? It's a supererogatory. It is something that is, if you have it, it's good. If you don't, then no big deal. This is a complete contradiction to the very basis of our kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now you're going to say, Shaykh, who in their right minds is saying we don't have to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I say, sometimes you don't have to use these wordings. It is the content. Sometimes it's not what you say, but how you say it. And in the recent few years, we have the rise of this global phenomenon called the Abrahamic religion. Ad-Diyana al-Ibrahimi, al-Bayt al-Ibrahimi, the Abrahamic house. And this concept and initiative is being backed by, let's just say, some very powerful political entities. And they are having conventions around the world, inviting scholars from around the world. And if you read the language that is here, written in these Abrahamic conventions, it is intentionally vague and misleading. And recently, there is now a structure opened up. I cannot mention the country's name, but in a mainstream Muslim country, where the same place will be a church, a synagogue and a masjid. And the goal is to unite all three and to say we are all Abrahamic religion. And so if you choose to reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no problem. And if we choose to accept him, no problem. Now, unfortunately, this type of thought is now becoming common amongst many pseudo-academics, pseudo-intellectuals, pseudo-modern thinkers. And we see debates online, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. This is now taking the internet by storm, and it's a multi-pronged effort. You have pseudo-academics, you have government entities, you have the scholars that are, let's just say, known to be following the regimes, and they are collectively pushing this agenda that every single person is on a different path, and all paths lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The technical term for this is perennialism. Perennialism means all paths lead to God. Now, to be clear, I am not in and of itself against a communal space. If there's a chapel in the church, chapel in the airport, sometimes you have to pray, there's a Jew. That's meant to be a communal space. But for there to be a purpose-built structure that is intended on Friday for the khutbah, and on Saturday for this, and on Sunday for that, and the goal is to unify, that is not the same as a common place of worship where whoever is passing by can pray. You understand this point here, right? So we understand. And when this is a part of a greater agenda, that we are having an Abrahamic brotherhood, a fraternity of Abraham, the Abrahamic initiative, and the goal is very clear, to remove the boundaries between Islam and between other faith traditions, in the name of tolerance, in the name of modern living, they wish to destroy fundamental aspects of our deen. And we as Muslims have to uncategorically state that this idea and notion has no basis in the religion of Islam. It is in fact destructive of Islam. And I say this bluntly, it is kufr. And you hardly hear me use this word. I use kufr with very rare terminology because I understand its misuse and abuse. Just because juhal misuse it doesn't mean there's no such thing as kufr. And to say that a person who rejects the Prophet Muhammad knowingly, having been presented the religion of Islam, to reject the risala and the nubuwa of our Prophet ﷺ, and then say, yes, no problem, Allah shall be happy with you in the afterlife. This is a destruction of Islam, and it has nothing to do with Islam. Now, immediately the critic stands up. Oh, you're calling for civil unrest. You're calling for disobedience. You're calling for people to not live together. And we say, subhanAllah, this is your propaganda. This is your evil tactic. You want to use a halal goal, but you want to get there through a haram means. The halal goal, live in peace. We all want to live in peace. But you don't have to use a haram tactic, a kufr tactic, to get to the halal goal. You see, if you read this Abrahamic agenda doctrine, the doctrine is very craftily written by people who know all too well what they are saying and what they are not saying. And they have flowery language. So if you read it without knowing what the agenda is, you might say, oh, beautiful, oh, great, oh, mashallah. But if you understand who the people are, what they intend, if you understand what they're saying, and more importantly, what they're not saying, you see, this is an agenda-driven propaganda. Who doesn't want to live in peace, brothers and sisters? We all do. But living in peace in this world is not the same as saying the people have Jannah in the next world. The two are completely disconnected. And if some radical groups cannot disconnect, we teach those radical groups the truth. We don't change the truth because a few small percentage of radical crazy people don't understand. We teach them the truth. Just because we say that a faith tradition is wrong and incorrect doesn't mean that in this dunya we treat them violently, we treat them. No! All we need to do, brothers and sisters, look at 14 centuries of Islam. Never once has there been a religious civil war. Never once have the Coptics and the Muslims in Egypt gone to war because of Coptic and Muslim. Never once have, even before the creation of Israel, the Jews living in Iraq, the Jews living in Baghdad, the Jews living in Yemen, never once was there a civil war between them and the Muslims. So don't preach us peace when we have shown the world the meaning of peaceful coexistence. We don't need to be taught the meaning of peaceful coexistence in light of our 14 centuries. But our aqidah is very clear. We must believe in the risala of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be attaining salvation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evidences for this, by the way, are so many that one small lecture will not suffice. Some verses so that you know. For example, Allah says in Surah A'raf verse 15, listen to this. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Say, O mankind, not O Arabs, not O people of Jazeera, not O people of the Middle East. Ayyuhannas, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am the Rasul of Allah to all of you. I mean, this is as explicit as you can get. Ya ayyuhan nas, I am the Rasulullah to all of you. From the one who has الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ يُحْيُ وَيُمِيتُ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah and His Rasul. Believe in Allah and His Rasul if you want to be guided. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Again, you cannot get more explicit than this. Move on. Surah Al-Fatih, verse 13. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَعِيرًا. Whoever doesn't believe in Allah and the Rasul, His Rasul, has Jahannam waiting for him. You have to believe in Allah and His Rasul. Surah Saba, verse 28. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. We have sent you kaffa for the totality of mankind. The Prophet ﷺ is not just a prophet to the Arab. He's a prophet to the Ajam. He's not just a prophet to the ins. He's a prophet to the jinn. He's not just a prophet for his time frame. He is the prophet to the day of judgment. Anybody who comes and says belief in the Prophet ﷺ is optional, this is a red line. You have crossed it. You will say to them, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينٌ. Literally, this is that red line. We cannot tolerate it. In fact, it must be pointed out. It is so sad, tragic. Wallahi, if it weren't ironic, you would laugh. They're calling this the Abrahamic Accords. They're calling this the Abrahamic Initiative. They're calling this the Abrahamic House. And what does Allah say about Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran? Tell me. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِي وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Wallahi, you would laugh if it were actually, you know, not worthy of crying. You dare call this initiative Abrahamic? And Allah says in the Quran, in the context of both Yahud and Nasara saying, we're following Ibrahim. And Allah says, no, no, hold on. No, no, you don't have that right. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Brothers, sisters, wallahi, think how explicit is the Quran. Don't claim Ibrahim had these other ideologies. He was away from all of this, reclining, declining, swaying himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purely upon Islam. To claim that one doesn't have to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to be righteous in the eyes of Allah, in order to attain salvation, listen to me carefully, goes against the Quran, the Sunnah, the unanimous consensus of the entirety of the Ummah, and common sense and rationale and logic. All four things. Quran, Sunnah, Ijma' and common sense. There are no evidences left. As for the Quran, I quoted you three, four evidences, and I can quote you hundreds more. As for the Sunnah, so many evidences. Of them, the most explicit one, Hadith in Sahih Muslim, our Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose hands is my life, not a single Yahudi or Nasrani shall hear about me and then reject what I have come with, except that he shall be from the Ashab al-Jahim. I mean, again, can you get more explicit than this? Not a single Yahudi or Nasrani shall hear about me and then reject me. As we shall come to, there are conditions. Of the conditions, you hear, yes. But somebody who knows the message and rejects it, we believe this person has consciously made a choice to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for ijma', unanimous consensus, I have done research on this. I actually have a published paper about this as well, printed by Oxford University as a book I have, a collection of articles about salvation. There's an article about me, from me that have gone into all the evidences, and I quoted the unanimous consensus of multiple strands of Islam. The irony, dear Sunnis, we don't need to quote Sunni ijma'. There is ijma' in all of the firq of Islam. The Mu'tazila, the Zaydis, the Ithna Ashari Shi'is, all the Sunnis, the Ibadis, the remnants of the Ibad. Every firqa says the same thing. If you knowingly reject Islam, you have no chance up there. You don't even need just ijma' within our Ahl Sunnah. You have ijma' from the other groups as well. That's how much ijma' there is, that none of the earlier groups differed over this point. That somebody who has been exposed to Islam, has presented the Prophet's message to him, knowing what it is, he says, I don't want it. That person has decided his own fate in the Akhirah. There is ijma'. And as for common sense and rationale, I mean, it is obvious. Here we believe that the Prophet has been chosen by Allah to send a message to mankind. Imagine if he were to gather all of mankind. Imagine if he could speak to them. And this critic says that he believes this. The message would be, O mankind, my message to you all is that Allah has chosen me to deliver the message. And the message is, you don't need my message. What rationale is this? What logic is this? Why would Allah send a messenger when he doesn't have to be followed? Why would Allah send a Rasul when it's optional to listen to him? Think about how illogical and irrational that is. It doesn't even make sense logically. Sending a prophet to all of mankind means you must follow this prophet. So to believe that guidance is found in other than Islam, and to believe that a religion other than Islam shall lead to Jannah, is a contradiction to Islam, and it actually technically expels you from Islam. You cannot be a Muslim and have this belief if you understand what the Quran says. If you're completely ignorant and you don't know, we teach you. Okay, no problem. But if you understand the Quran, you've read the Quran, and you have this notion, then you have a religion other than the religion of Islam. There are verses in the Quran that are so explicit. One wonders, how could you read this book and still believe this? For example, Surah Ali Imran, listen to this. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses other than Islam as a deen shall never have it accepted from Allah, and he shall be of the losers on the Day of Judgment. Whoever wants a religion other than Islam, again, very explicit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions explicitly in the Quran, the only way to attain salvation is by believing in the Prophet ﷺ. The only way to have Allah love you is by believing in the Prophet ﷺ. وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. Only by obeying the Prophet ﷺ shall you be rightly guided. Now, before we conclude with some points, caveats, I have to mention one verse that is always used as an evidence by this modern understanding, this new fangled interpretation. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 62. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Whoever believes, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, the Yahud, وَالنَّصَارَى, the Nasara, وَالصَّابِئِينَ, the Sabi'een are a group, in English they're called the Mandaeans, وَالصَّابِئِينَ, whoever believes in Allah and the last day and does good deed, they shall have their reward with their Lord, and they have nothing to worry about, and they're not going to be scared. وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Now, this verse has been used by this modern group to say, it's very clear. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِينَ. Allah mentions four groups. All of them are Ahli Kitab. And Allah says, if they believe and they do good deeds, then they have nothing to worry about. The response to this, I have gone over, no exaggeration, around 100 tafsirs of all the firq, not just Sunnism, Zaydis, Ibadis, Shia, all of them. Not a single mufassir, pre-modern times, I haven't found, not a single mufassir in all of our history has ever understood this verse to indicate a plurality of religions. Why? When, according to these guys, it's so clear. I'll tell you why. Because when the Quran's message is so clear that the Yahud and the Nasara are misguided, they have wrong theology, when the entire Quran criticizes people of other faiths for their theologies, how can you take an ambiguous verse and use it to literally trump hundreds of verses? Doesn't make any sense. So then, what does this verse mean? Go look up any book of tafsir. You will find one or two very simple interpretations that make complete sense. The first interpretation, Salman al-Farisi, who was a Christian convert, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, you know my story. They were righteous Christians before you. They were waiting for you. They died before you came. They died before you came. They never met you. But if they met you, I feel they would have believed in you. What is their fate? So Allah revealed this verse. If you understand the context, everything becomes clear. The Yahud at the time of Musa are good. The Nasara at the time of Isa are good. And the believers at the time of the Prophet ﷺ are good. Every generation, yes, that is one interpretation. Another interpretation, listen to the verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَنَصَارَ وَصَابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever has iman in Allah. In other words, simply by being Yahudi or Nasara, you don't have iman in Allah. Allah is inviting them to real iman. Allah is telling them, you're so close. Just have iman. And having iman means iman in Allah and the Messenger. Have iman and you're going to be good. And our Prophet ﷺ said, any Ahli Kitab who converts shall have a double reward. So the ayah can be understood to be an incentive for the people of iman to make their iman stronger and for the people of Yahud and Nasara and Sabiun to embrace iman. No scholar understood this to mean, oh, people of other faiths, remain upon your faith, you're upon good. Because that would defeat the message of the Quran. Also, by the way, Surah Baqarah verse 62. Go read verses 60 before and 63 onwards. It's nothing but a criticism of the Ahli Kitab. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticize, mention this verse, criticize, and then you say this verse means everything is good? No. It is meant to incentivize conversion. It is meant to say, oh Ahli Kitab, you have a lot of things you need to account for. Here's your way out. Embrace Islam and it shall all be forgiven. This is the correct meaning of this verse. Now, before we conclude, a number of disclaimers. First disclaimer. This ruling has to do with the hereafter, the akhirah. In this dunya, everyone is free to choose. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is in the Quran. Whoever wants to believe, believe. Whoever wants is going to reject. Allah tells us, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. Nobody forces people. Allah tells us, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْتِرْ. You are not in charge as a guardian over them. إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغِ. Your job is to preach. So we say unequivocally, we live with people of all faiths in kindness, in equity. We live in civil society without hatred, without violence, without evil. You are the ones conflating, saying that this is the truth with saying that those who are not upon the truth, we're going to physically fight them. We're not saying that. And as I said, we have 14 centuries of history to prove this. We don't need to be taught peaceful coexistence. Peaceful coexistence, we all agree with. We come together in this society with people of all faiths and people of no faith. And we build better hospitals. We build bigger schools. We build better, you know, roads and infrastructures. No problem. We want a good dunya for ourselves and our children. But when it comes to spirituality, we must be firm. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. It's very simple. And if we just make this caveat, it's not about hatred, astaghfirullah, about violence. No, it's about the truth. And by the way, again, this needs to be said. We live in a capitalist economy. Socialism, communism, every other ism is looked down upon. And if you want to be a part of this society and be respected, you must follow their capitalism understanding. If you come out as a complete socialist, as a complete communist, you know, they're not going to respect you. You are not going to be mainstream because it goes against their ideology. Okay, well, we have a more important thing than how money is dealt with. And that is how iman is dealt with. We have our way. You have to understand, we have the right to preach our boundaries. And this is our boundary. So this is the first caveat. That it's nothing to do with peaceful living or not. We can live peacefully and still preach the truth. The second, we're talking in generalities, not specifics. So we say, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is essential to salvation. This is universal. Now, somebody comes and says, but so-and-so never heard about him. But so-and-so had a wrong understanding. We say, we're not talking about exceptions. Don't make the exception the rule. Don't teach the exception and ignore the rule. Yes, there are exceptions. Yes, on the day of judgment, somebody might come and say, Ya Allah, I lived in a land we didn't hear of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, that's an exception. Ya Allah, the message we got was tainted. That wasn't the real message. That's an exception. Ya Allah, I didn't understand the message. That's an exception. We leave exceptions to Allah on the Day of Judgment. And Allah is Rahman and Rahim, and Allah is Hakim, and Allah is ala kulli shayin qadir. That doesn't change the rule. And the rule is, there is one path to Jannah. That path is Islam. Other paths don't lead to Jannah. Now, if your friend, Tom, Harry, you know, dies on the other path, we don't speak, oh, Tom is in the fire of hell. We don't say that. Because we don't know individuals. We do not pass verdicts on people. We pass verdicts on paths. The path to Jannah is through Islam. Any other faith is not leading to Jannah. And if it's not leading to Jannah, there's only one other place it's going to go. We have to preach this. This is the Quranic idea, the Quranic religion. But your friend who followed another faith, dies in that faith, we remain silent. We don't know how he died. We don't know what happened. We don't know his personal excuse. We don't pass verdicts on human beings, but we do pass verdicts on theologies. And Islam is correct. And to believe in three gods is wrong. And to believe in a pantheon of gods is wrong. And to believe God has a son is wrong. And to reject the Prophet ﷺ is wrong. There is no two opinions about this. So this is the second caveat. The last point, and this is needs to be said as well. If this theological heresy was the only issue that is coming out of the Abrahamic Accords, it would have been bad enough. Because this theological heresy destroys Islam. But what makes it worse is that this heresy is actually a part of a far larger agenda. This heresy is actually a part of a larger socio-political strategy that has multiple aims. And again, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I want you to do your research. I'll be generic here, but inshallah, واللبيب بالإشارة يفهموا. Of the main goals of this initiative is the normalization of relations with the one remaining apartheid regime in the Middle East. They intentionally want to use this to marginalize the Palestinian cause and to normalize relationship with the one remaining apartheid regime in that part of the world. And this is one tactic they're using. And another tactic is that they're using this to claim that mainstream ulama and scholars who are not going to be co-opted by their agenda are actually promoters of terrorism. They're actually evil people. You know, in the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Khalifa became a Mu'tazili. He started doing a mihna, an exam, an inquisition. You must say the Quran is created. And whoever doesn't say so is going to be punished and tortured. He created this doctrine. He wanted to sift the scholars who would be on his side. The scholars he could purchase. The scholars he can have in his pocket versus the scholars who's going to stand for the truth. I say this bluntly, and may Allah protect me and all of you. This agenda, one of its goals is to separate those people of knowledge who can be purchased from those who cannot. And the reality is, without getting too explicit, even people in North America, whom you might know, who refuse to sign on to this agenda, the tentacles of that entity have harmed them over here as we speak, in their personal lives. And this type of dastardly tactic, wallahi, it is downright evil. Their fear and paranoia is not just of their local ulama who they have rounded up and chained and put up in jails and etc. Their fear and paranoia transcends the globe. And any organization, any scholar, even a scholar who doesn't visit that land, who has nothing to do with it, if they're not going to sign up, they're going to face a type of soft pressure. Things are going to happen in their personal lives, and things are going to happen that will affect them. Well, let's not go into detail, but things are going to happen that shows you better get on board or else. And this type of soft pressure, and that's soft because we're in America. Had we been in other places, it would not be soft pressure. It would be rounding up and you're never seen again. If we don't stand up collectively and preach against it, subhanallah, like the fitna of Imam Ahmad, if Imam Ahmad didn't stand up and say, enough is enough, You have no right to preach an innovative doctrine. This is not the doctrine of Islam. If Imam Ahmad had not done so, scholars say the whole Ummah would be Mu'tazili, not Sunni anymore. So this is now an agenda that is sweeping the globe. Part one is today, and that is to say belief in the Prophet is not necessary. We're going to pause here, continue on Tuesday inshallah. The second part is belief in the Prophet being the final prophet is not necessary. And we're going to talk about certain groups. May Allah protect me and all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be those who defend the honor of the Prophet regardless of the criticism of the critic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live and die as the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll continue inshallah on Tuesday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب.